Anxiety shouldn't be your norm. Get the powerful, safe audio system for anxiety over at quietbegins.com.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on the show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, I've got a great show for you lined up. I say that without even having recorded it yet, so there's no way I could know that. I'm just going to say it and hope it's true. So I'm glad you're here. I'm going to talk about somebody's toxic relative right about now. I'm going to read her email and we'll see where we go with it. She writes, "Greetings. I have been listening to your podcast for a while and it has been very helpful for me. I have a lot of toxic family members. The person I am struggling with right now and have been for a few years is my sister. She has narcissistic tendencies and is very, very hard to deal with. If things don't go her way, she is a full-blown tantrum. If anyone dares tell her no if she asked for something, we are the worst for denying what she asked for. She has called me the worst sister because I have set boundaries and I have distanced myself from her. It sucks because we used to be close so many moons ago, but now that I am married and have a child, she can't seem to comprehend that I can't just drop everything I'm doing to be with her. God forbid if I don't go see her, I am the worst person on the planet. If I don't make it to every family gathering, she wonders why I don't want to go. My husband and I attend some gatherings, but not all of them. My extended family is full of drama, gossip, negativity, and, well, we just don't like being around that environment, but my sister never sees my point. She refuses to empathize with me. She has continually hurt me with her words and pushed me away that sometimes I don't even want to go see her. We walk on eggshells around her because she has a bad temper and a fragile ego. She has not once apologized for her actions, but all we do is apologize to her. I don't know what to do anymore, and I could use some sound advice to help me. Sometimes I want to sit and talk to her, but I'm afraid because all she will do is criticize me and shift the blame on me. I feel like she wouldn't even care what I have to say. I'm at my wit's end. Please help. Any advice will help. Thank you." All right. Thank you so much for writing this. And I'm sorry you have to deal with a lot of toxic people in your life. I've had some of that growing up, and I'm sure that 99.9% of the people that listen to the show have had to deal with that. This is a show about how to deal with toxic people. I mean, the Overwhelmed Brain. You have to deal with toxic people all the time. In one way, shape, or form or another, and sometimes they're relatives. Family can be some of the most toxic people in your life because they are usually the hardest to get away from. And you are actually telling me that you continue to see her and keep her in your life. So it's not like you're trying to avoid her all the time, because it sounds like you still want a relationship with her of some sort, but she's toxic, so it's hard to have a relationship with her. So I'm assuming that when the times are good, the times are good, but when they're bad, they're really bad. Because otherwise, why would you want to continue having a relationship with someone, as the person you described sounds very difficult to be around? Aside from being family, if she wasn't family, would you be around her? That's a good first question. And I like to ask that question anytime in my own life. If that person wasn't my family member, would I choose to be around them? Because if my answer is no, then I might not treat them as I would other family members. that may not be easy to do. It may be difficult to keep people out of your life, and maybe you don't want to. Maybe you're the type of person that says family is everything and you should never leave family behind. You should never deny them. I don't typically follow that rule. I make my own rules when it comes to that. If you're kind and respectful and nice and caring and loving, or at least trying to be, then by all means, you're part of my family. But if you're constantly blaming and putting me down and insulting me and overreactive to things that you shouldn't be overreactive about, and you're just really difficult to be around, then I don't want to be around you, and I probably will avoid you. So that's my rules. That's what I follow. But not everyone can do that, and not everyone wants to do that. So I'm not going to push my values onto you. I'm just saying that if you have certain values that are not serving you anymore, perhaps they should be questioned. I don't know what that means to you. It could mean not seeing your sister anymore, or it could mean standing up to her or honoring yourself in a way that you haven't necessarily done yet. And what I mean by that is, it reminds me of a client that I worked with for quite a while. He had a challenging relationship with his mom, and his mom was very much interfering with his marriage and his life, and he had to work through some stuff to finally get the relationship to a point where it was not only tolerable, but maybe even somewhat okay. I was going to say enjoyable, but maybe it's not for him. But if it's okay, then can you have a relationship with that person? And she sounded like she might have been cut from the same cloth as your sister. I don't know her at all, and I don't know your sister at all, but from some of the behaviors, and like you said, the narcissistic tendencies, they could have very similar components of their personality. And so I'm going to share with you what he did, and maybe even encourage you to do the same thing. What he did was, one day he got on the phone with his mom. He'd been estranged for a while. He hadn't really talked to her too much. And he decided to get on the phone and say, "Hey, look, this is how the conversation is going to go." And he laid out the rules. And he said, "If you start putting my wife down, I'm going to hang up on you. If you start insulting me or telling me how to run my life, I'm going to hang up on you." And I'm not sure exactly what he said to her, but this is basically how it went. "If you do XYZ, I'm going to hang up on you." This is what he did. He laid out the ground rules for his mom. And because she wanted a relationship with him, she didn't want to have no relationship with him. She wanted a relationship with him. She decided to say, "Okay, I will, whatever, I'll do my best. I will follow those rules," whatever she said. And whenever he noticed a behavior change in her and that she was starting to go down the same path that she used to go down, he would then speak up and say, "Look, this is starting to go down that path, and I'm about to hang up." And she then, I believe, I'm trying to remember this, backed off and said, "Okay, I won't go down that road," or whatever she said. And he was able to establish a relationship with someone that had been a toxic and dominating force in his life for his whole life, for a long time. And so he still wanted a relationship. He still wanted some sort of connection with his mom. So he laid out the ground rules of that relationship. And by doing that, he was able to establish the relationship on his terms. And I believe that relationship continues to this day on his terms. And I'm sure that when he talks to his mom, she's biting her lip, wanting to say something but doesn't. But that's okay, because when you establish the ground rules for a relationship, especially with a toxic person, what you're doing is saying, "The way you normally behave is unacceptable to me. Therefore, this is how it will be if you want to continue having a relationship with me." Now, the person who wrote, "I know this may not work for you. I know it. It may not work for a lot of people, but this is for people out there where both people want the relationship. and they just can't get along. And one of them is the toxic one. This is typically what happens. One of them is the toxic one, and the toxic one doesn't think they're the toxic one. They think the other person is being a jerk or just not listening, or she thinks you're the problem. And if she thinks you're the problem, then it's going to be hard for her to hear what you're saying, because now you're being difficult. You're being the challenging one. But I still stand by what I just said. I love what this guy did with his mom, and he is establishing his boundaries. He is saying it is unacceptable. In fact, what he said couldn't be denied. She was putting down his wife, and he said, I don't want you to do that anymore, and if you do, I'm hanging up. And he meant it. It was accountability. He put it out there. He knew it was wrong, and maybe she knew it was wrong too. I don't know. But she definitely knew that he was offended by it and that he wouldn't stand for it. So this is one way of laying out what's acceptable and what's not, and letting someone else know where the line is, and if they cross it, you're not going to tolerate it. And then you have to follow through. I mean, the part of this that works is the follow through. If you just say, hey, look, you're going down that road again, please stop, and they don't stop, and then you keep saying, well, I'm going to hang up, and then you never hang up, then it doesn't work. And in fact, when we come back, I'm going to share with you why it doesn't work and what you can do instead to make this boundary setting with toxic people work, because it is vital that you set boundaries with certain people if you want to continue having a relationship with them. If you don't want to continue having a relationship with them, we'll have a different conversation. We don't have to have a relationship with everyone in our lives. We don't have to have a relationship with close people, the ones that we grew up with in our family. We don't have to have them. They aren't necessary. But sometimes we want them. And if we want them, then we have to establish guidelines and rules and boundaries and make sure that everyone is on board and everyone knows the rules. Because if they don't, or if those rules aren't enforced, this is what we end up with. A message like this saying that we have to walk around on eggshells because they might explode at any second. How do we change this behavior? Well, I know of one way that puts the ball back in their court instead of it always being in your court. And what I mean by that is you shouldn't have to be responsible for how they respond and how they behave. You should be the one establishing the guidelines with people like this so that they don't misbehave and they don't have explosive reactions to things when you're not doing anything wrong. The ball should be in their court on how to show up differently, or at least in a way that is somewhat tolerable and mostly kind and at least at minimum respectful. We'll be right back in a minute. Tell you what, the testimonies keep pouring in from listeners of this show, not necessarily about the show, although I get those too, about BetterHelp. I have people writing to me who signed up for BetterHelp and have told me this is a fantastic service. In fact, I just had one recently. Somebody reached out and said, you know, thank you so much for telling me about BetterHelp. I reach out to them whenever I need them, and they are so helpful. It has really helped me keep my stress and anxiety down. So thank you so much. And they're thanking me, but all I did was just tell you about it. I want to tell you about services like this because they are so helpful and I believe in them. If you've been listening a while, you know that I vet every product or service that comes through here. If I'm promoting something, it's because I've either used it or talked to them directly to make sure that it's a good fit and it's legit and it works. And BetterHelp is one of those services. If you're interested in online professional counseling, either through the phone or video chat, and they also have a messaging system, they have like a little text thing that you can write back and forth, emails and such, check out betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. You'll get 10% off your first month, and you get to talk about anything that's on your mind, depression, stress, anxiety, relationships. If you have sleeping issues, if you have some old trauma, or if you're dealing with grief or self-esteem issues, it's convenient. Everything you share is confidential, it's professional, and it's affordable. And they get tons of direct testimonials posted on their site daily. So if you aren't sure what's interfering with your happiness, or if something's preventing you from achieving your goals, or you just want to share what's on your mind because you need to vent, you need to purge, or just release that pressure valve and let loose on someone, that you can just walk in their virtual office, speak your mind, let it all out. And of course, they're going to ask you questions and help you reach a better place inside of you. Once you do that, once you're done, you can just walk away and shut the door behind you. And this is all virtual. You don't even have to leave your home. You can just do it, like I said, on the phone or on your computer, and you'll have somebody there that is ready and willing to help you. When you sign up, you'll be communicating within 24 hours, and they assess your needs and assign you someone that will be perfect for you. And of course, if you don't resonate with the person they assign you, you can always change that too. So if you're dealing with challenges in your life and you're looking for some more direct help, a one-on-one conversation with someone that understands what you're going through and can help you with it, check out BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. Get 10% off your first month. Do it today. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. BetterHelp.com/brain. Welcome back. We were talking about this person who was dealing with her sister and trying to figure out how best she could work with her or deal with her. She never told me what was positive about the relationship. And I think that's something important to think about, is if you have positive aspects of the relationship. Because if there are no positive aspects of the relationship and you're just sticking around out of obligation or something, then what are you doing? I mean, why are you investing your time and energy into a relationship and trying to get along with someone where you can find no positive aspects? Now, I understand, again, if it's family and you have this thing about needing to have family in your life, no matter how toxic they are, I get that. I just ask you to question your values and figure out if those values still serve you. Because if they don't, then what are you doing to your life? I just want to make sure that you understand what you introduce into your life, it affects your entire life. Even if you're not around that person most of the time, if you're constantly thinking about that person and trying to figure out how to get along with them better and hoping they don't call and hoping they don't show up, if you're always in that state of mind, then you're constantly stressed. So it's good to figure out what is positive about the relationship, if anything, to understand what you're trying to save here. Now, I did mention obligation. If you feel like you're doing it out of obligation, like she should be able to see your children, or you want to keep the relationship because of other relationships in your life and you don't want to ruin those, then I can start to understand a little bit more. Like, you can't have a relationship with your mom if you can't have a relationship with your sister. That would be kind of messed up. if that's the truth and it's just the way it is, then like you said, you just want to figure out how to get through this and how to get along with her. So one of the things I mentioned in the previous segment was that this client that I had, he laid out the ground rules. And when you lay out the ground rules and then you make the other person accountable, telling them if you break these ground rules, this is what's going to happen, you have to follow through. And he was very much well prepared to follow through and hang up the phone when he was on the phone with her. And like I said, I think they still get along to this day under his ground rules. And she may not like it, but what he's doing is preserving the positive aspects of the relationship. And that's why I asked about what was positive about the relationship. Because if you're going to save anything, you're going to save the positive stuff. And if you want to get rid of the negative stuff, that's what the ground rules are for. Now, what you're telling me is that no matter what you do, she's going to be upset with you. If you lay the ground rules, then you're the one that's being difficult. You're the one that's being challenging. But I highly recommend you cite specific behavior and even specific words that she uses, so that when you present them to her, if you're going to take the ground rules route, when you present these specific behaviors that she does, that she understands the behavior is hurtful or offensive or insulting to you. So if she yells at you in front of other people and you find it embarrassing and shameful, then you can say something like, when you yell at me in front of other people, it makes me feel humiliated, so I am asking you to not do that anymore. It could start off just that simple, just that easy, even though it might be taken hard. She might not like to hear this rule. But what you're doing is saying, what you are doing is hurting me. You are causing me to feel bad. I don't want to feel that way anymore. So this is how you can stop causing me to feel bad. This is what you can do. This will make me feel better. If she decides that that's not something that she wants to do, then what she is telling you is, no, I don't want you to feel better. I want to do what I want to do. I want you to think about that for a moment, because if you have someone in your life that you've asked not to do something or to do something differently because it hurts you or because it offends you or you feel insulted by it or belittled or disrespected, and they want to continue doing it, remember that that's them essentially saying that it doesn't matter to me how you feel. I want to do it anyway. Just change the language in your head to those words so you understand what you're really dealing with. It's not pleasant. I mean, I don't like to give you this news, this information, because thinking this way is putting someone in a box. But what they're doing is putting themselves in that box, because you've given them an opportunity to be outside the box, in the sense that you are telling them how you prefer to be treated. And do it with love. Tell them with love, hey, you know, when you do that, it hurts me, so could you please stop doing that? You could say something like that. And if they say, what, that hurts you? Well, that's your problem. Then you can say, well, you know, that could be true. It might be true that it's my problem, but your behavior still hurts me. So knowing that it hurts me, now that I've told you that it hurts me, and yes, I probably have to work on my response to it, will you please stop that behavior until I can get into a place that's more comfortable so I don't respond that way? Will you help me along the way until I get to that place? They may still say no. They may still respond badly, or maybe they'll say yes. I don't know, but you just have to find out where they are with it. Now, I don't necessarily agree that a person who feels insulted or offended about bad behavior needs to change, because bad behavior is bad behavior, and if you feel insulted or offended by it, then I don't really think that you just need to become more resilient or tolerant about it. I think you need to draw the line and say, do not cross this line. But, you know, I am trying to help you converse with a toxic person, and if you show the toxic person that you are willing to work on yourself too, even though it may not be necessary, like, I don't think I would change how I feel about someone insulting me or offending me, but if I wanted to keep the relationship, I would let them know that, yes, there are probably things I need to work on too, so I will do that, which shows that you are all about give and take. You are all about trying to work things out together instead of just saying, you're wrong, you're going to change for me. And it also shows them a little bit of vulnerability and humility, telling them that perhaps maybe there is something that you need to work on. And when you say that to someone, they will hopefully be vulnerable too and say, you know, I probably need to work on it too. I don't know if that's going to happen with you from the way you described your sister, but it does help certain people to let them know that, okay, I'm willing to work on stuff too. And that can also start the process of healing and growing through this together. But maybe not. Maybe you'll tell her what the guidelines are, and maybe you'll say you'll work on stuff too, but it doesn't change anything. I have a feeling it probably won't change anything. Not because she won't change her behavior. But, and this may kind of surprise you, you won't change yours. And let me tell you what I mean. And this has to do with people doing the things they do because of the results they get. Close to that definition of insanity we always hear. If you do the same things over and over again and get the same thing, you're pretty much insane. So what do you get when you do certain behavior and you get the same results? You get more of the same. So if she's doing certain behavior that is unacceptable, unlikable, or just completely difficult and challenging for you, yet you behave the same way every time she does it, she's going to do it again. And you highlight this in your email by saying that you are always the one that ends up apologizing. So she does the bad behavior. You go through the paces and try to figure out how to make her happy, and then you apologize. I mean, I'm assuming that's how it might go, you know, at least sometimes. If you're constantly apologizing to her and she never does, guess what changes? You're right. Nothing. Nothing changes because she is getting the results that she wants. She's getting your apology. She is getting compliance. You are submitting to her will. And when you do that, there's no incentive for her to change. When you give certain people no incentive to change, they won't. Certain people will not change until they don't get the results they want. This is something that you'll find in many toxic relationships. The toxic person does certain behavior, and the person that's dealing with the toxic person is either going to cry or feel hurt and walk away, or lash out at them, lash back and scream at them and tell them how wrong they are or how hurtful they're being. But in the end, the person that's the victim of that toxic behavior is still somehow, in some way, giving the toxic person what they want. There's something that the toxic person is receiving for doing that behavior. And because of that, the behavior continues. If the behavior continues, then the victim's behavior needs to change. Because you need to accept that the toxic person's behavior will never change. And because of that, something else needs to change. Something else in this formula, this toxic soup, needs to be different. And if they're not going to be different, you have to be different. How can you be different? Well, I would stop apologizing, because if you didn't do anything wrong, there's nothing to apologize for. It may be in your nature to apologize. It might be part of your compassionate makeup, but you don't have to apologize anymore. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to apologize. In fact, you can say, I would normally have apologized for this, but now I realize that I've done nothing wrong. You could say that, and it could go badly, I admit, but it is standing your ground and being who you are. Now, I'm sort of heading you down a road that will not work out to keep the relationship. I know this. I know that if you just stand your ground and say, look, I don't want to apologize anymore because I'm not doing anything wrong, she's probably going to say, you are a terrible person and I never want to talk to you again. And this is another thing to realize, that you may be risking the relationship by standing up for yourself, by honoring yourself. You might be losing the relationship. But I want you to remember what is in integrity, what is in your character, what is in your values, what is in your boundaries, and make sure that you are standing in alignment with all of that while showing compassion and love for her as well. And all that means is something I've talked about on this show before, is honoring yourself with love for others. If you honor yourself with love for others, you're always in integrity and always doing what's in the best interest for everyone involved. And a good example of that is stating a boundary and letting the other person know that this is your boundary and you still love them and you still want them in your life. Something I did a long time ago was I told somebody that, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you any money. I'm not going to lend you any money. I don't want our relationship based on money, but know that I still love you. I still want this relationship. I still care about you. And I hope this doesn't change things, but do know that I really care about you and I want you in my life. And what that did was honored myself, because I don't want to be somebody's ATM machine. And I showed love and compassion and respect for the other person, even though they were on the verge of perhaps violating a boundary of mine. I set up the boundary so that they didn't violate it, and I drew the line so that they knew where the line was, and I chose to care about them and respect them and tell them where I stood on that, and also give them the opportunity to honor the relationship and what it has built up to be up to that point. Now, if that person got upset at me, which they did, they didn't really show it at the time, but I never heard from them again, then that was the risk I took. I risked the relationship based on them honoring where I wanted to be. It shouldn't even be an issue. When you have a relationship with someone and they're supposed to be love and they're supposed to be caring and kindness and respect, you shouldn't have to worry about that not still being present if you say no to them, or if you honor a boundary or tell them that they've crossed a line in a loving way. If there is love and kindness and caring from them to you, then honoring yourself should be something that they want you to do for yourself. People who don't want you to honor yourself probably want to control you. They probably want to have dominance over you. They want to have power over you. And when you are in a relationship where somebody has power over you and they want to keep that power, that's the kind of relationship that you may have to risk losing, because you don't want to lose your power to anyone. Once you lose your power, you're writing messages like this person wrote. This is someone who is probably in a position where she feels like she has no power around her sister. And so I've given you some of the suggestions that I would personally do in my life, but there's one more thing I want to emphasize before I wrap this up, which is what I've already mentioned. If your behavior doesn't change, neither will theirs, which means you have to assess how you're responding and reacting. If you automatically get mad, if you automatically get upset or cry every time they do something, or most of the times they do something, then you have to assess if that is an appropriate response. You may be hurt. You may be offended by what they're doing. It may feel painful, but you need to assess and change how you're responding if they're not willing to change. So that might mean doing an evaluation of your own behavior and asking yourself, did I act out of integrity? Was I being harsh or rude? Was I being toxic or insulting or offensive? It may have evolved into that or de-evolved into that, but in the beginning, were you really trying to be kind and caring? Because if you were, then you were going along what I might call a righteous path. If that righteous path was followed, and if they respond to it negatively, then you don't have to get upset, you don't have to cry, you don't have to get into a place where you feel like you did anything wrong, because you didn't. And this is something that is sometimes hard to accept, especially for people who are trying to be kind and caring and supportive to everyone. Sometimes they do it to people that are so toxic that your kindness, caring, and compassion is working against you. Like, you are being more and more kind to someone who's being more and more toxic, and that is what is feeding their toxicity. Instead of putting up a wall and saying, no, I'm not going to accept that behavior. If you want to talk to me nicely and be respectful, then we can have a conversation. Just like my client, you know, we can have this conversation, but we need to do it with kindness and respect. And if we don't, then I won't be able to have it. This is you, again, establishing those boundaries, establishing those guidelines, and letting them know what's acceptable in your life and what's not. Personal boundaries, 101. If you let people know where the line is and they cross it, that's on them, not on you. So this is why it's important to be clear what you will accept and what you won't accept in your life. And again, see her not as family, but as a stranger on the street. And if that stranger on the street treated you the way she treats you, how would you respond then? that might be a little different. You might be more willing to yell at them or more willing to be aggressive with them. But you know what I mean. I'm not saying that you just treat her as a stranger, but it is important to understand what you'll accept in your life, and that's how you establish these boundaries, is that you ask yourself, if this was a perfect stranger or just an acquaintance or my mom's friend or whoever, how would I respond then and how would I treat them then? And would I keep them in my life? So it's just good to ask yourself those questions just to make sure you're clear about that. But coming back to your own behavior and how you respond, remember that your response is often the fuel someone needs to behave the way they behave, which is so backwards. It just doesn't make sense sometimes, because when you act kind, when you are apologetic, when you are humble, when you are vulnerable with people that are being hurtful and toxic, you'd think that they would calm down. You'd think that they would see that you were hurt or crying or confused, like you didn't know what you did wrong. But that's exactly what some people are looking for. They're looking for your upset. They're looking for your confusion. They're looking for those signs to help them realize that they have succeeded in getting what they want. It sounds so awful. It sounds so terrible to think that there are people looking for that. But let me just share this. It may be unconscious. When they get your negative response to their hurtful behavior, they may not consciously realize they're looking for your pain. They just know that when you're in pain or when you're suffering, that they get what they want. And if they get what they want, then they have survived the moment. Because people who bully, people who intimidate, people who are toxic are typically more in survival mode than most people. They're just trying to survive, because if they don't do the behavior they're doing, they think that they're going to feel some sort of emotional suffering or pain, and they don't want to feel that, so they put it out on others. This is why sometimes killing somebody with kindness can be life-changing to them. Now, I don't often talk about killing somebody with kindness on this show, because if somebody is so toxic that they're hurting you, you need to get away or get into a space that protects you first. But when you get to a point where you are ready to honor yourself and you're okay being in your own skin and showing up as who you are, and you're okay telling people, no, that's not acceptable, so I'm not going to allow that in my life. When you're in that space, when you're confident in yourself, then when somebody comes along who does all this hurtful, insulting, or toxic behavior, and you can look at them and say, even though you're doing this, I still love you, I still care about you, and I know you don't mean what you say. When you can do that, you are on an entirely different plane of existence from a lot of people. Because how many people can do that? It's like this conversation that my girlfriend and I had the other day. I said, you know, if somebody ever broke into our house, I used to think that I would just bash them in the head and I wouldn't care if they live or died because they put my family in jeopardy. I used to think that way. But now I would probably knock them out, bring them down, do something that incapacitated them. And if I had hurt them in any way, I would probably care for them until the police came. And to say that out loud is still weird to me, but I also know that people do stupid things. Especially young people, they'll do more. Sorry, young people, but when you're younger, you don't have as much life experience, and you're more likely to do stupid things. You're more likely to get with stupid people. You're more likely to experiment with harmful drugs. And I'm not putting anyone down for that. I'm just saying, I was young too. I did a lot of stupid things, and I can witness other people doing stupid things now too at a young age. And as I grew older, I realized, oh, when you're young, you don't know as much, and you're likely to do stupid things. Like when I was a kid, I used to steal from stores, and doing that now, that's not even on my radar. Stealing? That's just not in there. I don't want to steal from anyone. But when I was a kid, yeah, I was all about that. But I didn't do it all the time, but I did it. And I don't like that I was ever that way. Because as you grow, you learn and you figure things out and you realize, oh, some of those things aren't very good, because you develop empathy and you develop morals, or at least strengthen your morals and your ethics. You develop all this stuff and you realize how life can be challenging, and you realize also that there is accountability for your behavior, just like I'm talking about today. There should be accountability for certain behaviors, and when you realize this stuff, you change. And the accountability really helps you change. And then you also realize that when you change, you get better results. So it would be great to see toxic people change because of somebody else's accountability toward them, because I've seen toxic people lose friend after family member after family member, and then finally realize that they are the common denominator for all the problems in their life, and then they change, and then things get better. Doesn't happen often. It happened to me with relationships. Every single romantic relationship I've ever had in my life, except for this one, failed due to behavior that I was doing that I didn't realize until I got married and divorced. I thought marriage was the end. This was it. This is how I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. And when the divorce came, I finally decided to assess what the heck I was doing wrong. It actually happened right before the divorce, but I finally assessed my own behavior, and I also finally took responsibility for my own behavior. I was the toxic person in my romantic relationships, and to take responsibility for that and realize that I was causing these failures in my life, that changed my life. It made me be a better person. It healed me. Well, I mean, it started my healing process, and that healing process led to a better feeling inside myself, carrying less anxiety, less stress, carrying less repressed negative emotions, healing from depression, all this stuff. Taking responsibility for all the failures in my life, finding out what I could do differently and how I could show up differently, and also especially how I was hurting others, changed my life so dramatically that I don't have most of everything I used to experience anymore. I mean, it is night and day. And if a toxic person can take responsibility for their behavior and start to change things in their life changes. It has to, it has no choice. And then there are people that will come back into your life, and then there are people that won't. And you just have to keep moving forward and making sure that you're trying to do everything you can to be a good person and treat people nicely and show compassion and caring and kindness and respect and all of the stuff that I brought up earlier. And when you do that, life just gets easier. I mean, it's a lot easier. I mean, it's a lot easier when you're not the toxic person or you're not with a toxic person, and you don't have to deal with all the drama and all the bad behavior from those types of people. So to the person who wrote to me, yes, you are in a very challenging situation. I totally get it. But it will never, ever change until you do and until you draw some boundaries. And also remember that it could alter or dissolve the relationship completely. But what you're doing is letting them know how to show up in your life in a healthy way, in a supportive way, so that you can show up in their life in a healthy way as well. And that's how relationships last. You create a healthy foundation of boundaries, and you move forward together, supporting each other and caring about each other and caring about each other's well-being. And when that's one-sided and the other person doesn't care about you, but you care about them, the ship will always be listing and you will always be close to sinking. And you just don't want that feeling. You don't want that sinking feeling. You want to have a good relationship. And in order to get good relationships, some people need guidance. That sounds a little arrogant, that sounds a little egotistical, but if they're showing up in a way that is harmful, and it sounds like she is, it sounds like your sister is showing up in a harmful way, then when you give her guidance in a loving way by honoring yourself while loving her, it gives her an opportunity to show up in a better way, in a more empowered way, and even in a way that you could eventually admire. Because that's what family does, right? They help each other out of the quagmire so that they can have a better life too. Because I'll assume that she is probably very unhappy. I imagine that she is just very unhappy, because nobody intrinsically acts like that. That is not a natural behavior that comes out when you're born. That is something that develops when you don't have good coping mechanisms and you're trying to survive and trying to figure things out, and you just never learned a better way to respond. And what happens is when we get the results that we don't want in life, we have to change, which is why I'm saying that your behavior has to change to show her that her behavior doesn't get her the results that she wants. And again, let me emphasize, everything I'm talking about in the show could jeopardize your relationship with her. But I do want to ask you, is it worth keeping the relationship you have now if you're constantly in stress mode or walking on eggshells? That is up to you to decide. And I wish you the best through this. I know it's difficult, but thank you for sharing this. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this helps. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes right after this, and I will close the show. Be right back. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our sponsor, BetterHelp. Go to BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain, and get 10% off your first month of an excellent online therapeutic service. You're going to love them. I also want to thank the patrons of the week. These are the financial backers of the show. They went over to MoreTOB.com and chose to be a contributing member to show their support. And I am so grateful for the following people. I want to thank Lucy and Ron and Elaine, Maud and Chelsea and Linda and Brian, and two new people, Vanessa and Holly. Thank you so much. I am so grateful for you. I read the names of new and current patrons every week just to show that I really am grateful for your support. Thank you again. If you find value in this show and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com and you can choose to contribute monthly or a one-time donation. Totally up to you. Check it out over there. Thank you again, patrons. I also want to mention the Love and Abuse podcast. If you are in a difficult relationship with anybody in your life, anyone that you might find challenging or toxic, like the person who wrote today, if you're in any type of emotionally abusive relationship, go to loveandabuse.com, check out the podcast over there. And if you want, get the Mean Workbook. The Mean Workbook is an assessment and healing guide for emotionally abusive relationships. It tells you just how deep you're in it and what you need to do next and how to think about things. And it really walks you through the paces. So check it out over at loveandabuse.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And to end the show, I'm going to change directions here and read this person's message. They said, for the past few years, since after my divorce, I've been really soul-searching. I've been an avid listener of your podcast and really love what you do. For a while now, I've been feeling like it's my destiny to help people who are lost or feel broken. I want to help them find a path to a better life, but I'm not sure what avenue to take. I was hoping you could help give me some insight. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your work. All right. Well, thank you so much for writing that. And I read that because there are people that listen to this show. There are people that have absolutely the same, if not better, abilities than I. I'll admit there are people out there that know how to help others. If you're listening right now, you already know how to help someone in some area of life. And I want you to really let that sink in. You are able to help other people in some area of life. And you might be able to take those skills that you've learned and help others maybe as a business model if you wanted to. You could certainly become a coach, a therapist, a counselor. You could go back to school or whatever. You have the ability to help other people in their lives with something they're going through because you've been through things. You've been through things. I've been through things. You hear me on this show all the time. I tell you all the stuff I've been through, and I share them with you in hopes that they will help you get through whatever you're going through. But I haven't been through everything. Like somebody asked me something the other day that I had no clue about because I'd never been through it. I'd never talked to anybody about it. I've never studied it. I've never worked on it. And it's just outside of my field of expertise. And when that happens, I might have to talk to people in that field to help me understand a little bit more about it. But I have my expertise. I have my areas of experience and my history that helps me help others. and so do you. So to the person who wrote this, they're asking, what avenue should I take? Or do you have any suggestions on what avenues I should take? I think if you're going to do this, if you really want to start helping other people, then think about a subject that you could help anyone with, even if it's something simple, like you know how to change a flat tire. If you know that inside and out, then that could be an area that you start in. For example, I started in an area of like personal boundaries. I could talk about personal boundaries all day long, inside and out, and I would never get bored because it's a subject that not only interests me, but I went through a lot of healing with personal boundaries. In fact, I didn't have my personal boundaries for most of my life. I just let people walk on me. So that healing process that I went through was very educational, and very educational for other people, not just me. And I knew that it would help other people, and I didn't want those other people that were experiencing what I had experienced, so that's when I decided to help other people with it. So I think you can look at your life and ask yourself what you've been through, how you healed through it, and how you're better because of it, and start to let other people know how you did it as well. As you work on yourself, you become a role model for others, and others want to know what you did to get there. Not everyone. I think the first rule in helping others is only helping those who want to be helped. If they come to you, if they ask you, if they're saying, I see what you did, how did you do it, I want to know too, they're opening the door. But if you see someone going through their thing and you know you can help them, I don't recommend saying, hey, I see you're going through your thing, let me help you. You can ask them if they want help. I don't think that's a problem. But if you say, hey, I see you're going through your thing, let me help you. I know how to help you. Now you may be in a situation where somebody isn't ready for your help. They haven't reached that level where they're asking for help and they're still trying to figure things out. Or maybe they don't even think they need help. They just are in their own space. And we've all been there too. Sometimes you don't want help. Sometimes you just want to figure it out on your own, or you don't even think you have a problem, even if other people see the problem. So that's why I think it's important not to insist that you help somebody else until they're asking for it, which leads me into doing something bigger than yourself. And this person's asking if I could give him some insight. My insight for you, if you want to help others, is do something that is bigger than yourself, whether that's a blog, an Instagram feed, a Facebook feed, or a podcast like this. Do something that shares your knowledge, that helps to provide your experience and what you've been through with others, so that when people hear you, they can choose to continue to listen and take your advice or not. But when you do something bigger than yourself, and that's what I mean, just doing something that reaches more people than just inside your house, when you put yourself out there, what ends up happening is that people that are looking for what you're talking about will find you. Now, I know what some people are saying. They're saying, but I created a blog and it's been up there for 5 years and no one has ever found me. I know that. I get it. This is one of those things that I learned from the get-go, is that no matter what, no matter how long it takes, no matter how much you feel like your message isn't getting out there, it always reaches someone as long as you are persistent and consistent. What does that mean? That means when I created this podcast, I refuse to miss 1 week, meaning I have been creating a weekly podcast for the last 7.3 years, and I have not missed maybe one episode. I've only missed one episode in the past 7+ years. And by doing so, being consistent and persistent, continually putting what I believe to be true and what I believe to be helpful information out there, it eventually got more and more popular. The biggest mistake I see people make when they're putting themselves out there into the world is that they give up after 6 months, a year, 2 years, even 3 years. They just give up saying, this isn't going anywhere, so I'm going to stop doing it. When they do that, then they fade away, or at least their online presence fades away. Then they're not seen again, or maybe they'll come back in another form. But when that happens, when you stop being consistent and persistent, nobody will find you. But today's day and age, there are billions of people online. So when you put something out there, you are not going to be found right away. Podcasting is a little different. Podcasting, they're still pretty fresh. If you put out a podcast now, you're more likely to be found sooner than later. But blogging, it takes a little time for a blog. But social media channels, there are people with Instagram channels with thousands of followers, hundreds of thousands, and even millions of followers. But they chose a channel. And that's another thing I want to emphasize, is that you choose the channel that's right for you, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, what's the new one? Clubhouse. What's another one? TikTok. Whatever it is for you, choose a channel. Be consistent. Maybe it's daily. Maybe it's weekly. You kind of want to just keep putting information out there. That's how I started. I just created blog articles. I was doing both, actually, blog articles and podcasts. I was doing both consistently and persistently. And eventually, people started finding me. And I did go through a period, like after 6 months, thinking, wow, no one's listening. No one's finding me. I'm getting no feedback. I'm just putting stuff out there. Maybe nobody cares. Until one day I got an email that said, your podcast has been life-changing. That day changed everything. That day told me that what I was doing was going in the right direction, and that's all I needed to continue. And it didn't matter if I received any more messages. I affected one person. And I think that was the biggest qualifier and the strongest validation that I needed, was that somebody actually listened and someone was actually getting value from what I was putting out there. And the reason I think that's important, that one person is affected, is because if one person is positively affected by what you're doing, that means there are many, many others out there that will be as well. So my advice for you, if you want to put yourself out there and help others, is to find a channel or two, like podcasting or social media or blogging, and stick to it, and do it in a way that's both transparent and vulnerable, meaning be yourself, you know, show up as yourself, but do so in a way that is helpful to others. Like, you don't want to talk about yourself the whole time, but it is nice to share who you are and what you've been through, while also helping others get through what you've been through and what they're going through. At least that's kind of what I do here. And when you're persistent and consistent, meaning pick a release schedule, do a blog a week, a podcast a week, or every other day, or whatever it is for you, and stick to it even when you feel like giving up, and just keep going. And that doesn't mean you have to do it forever. I mean, if you're doing it for years and years and no one's ever writing or listening, and you're not getting any feedback on it whatsoever, there are times where you have to change things up. If you're writing 500 word articles, maybe you have to write 1500 word articles. Maybe you have to write 7000 word articles. Or maybe you have to create shorter podcast episodes or longer podcast episodes. Or maybe you have to put more pictures in your social media. I don't know. Sometimes you have to change things up because there's so much information out there. But as long as you're giving away really good information, stuff that you know works, that's the best way to start. And when you're transparent and vulnerable, people will connect with you because they want to know the real you. They don't want some salesy person that sounds fake, or at least I don't. When I'm listening to other people, I don't want some salesy person that sounds fake. I want somebody who's actually connecting with me, that treats me like a friend, because I want to be treated like a friend. I want to be treated as if we're in a coffee shop talking together, just like I'm talking to you. I'm hoping that we are connecting like that. And speaking of changing things up, sometimes you do. Sometimes that you find out that what you're talking about or how you're presenting it might need to change up a little bit. Sometimes you need to think out of the box. Like when I created this show, my main philosophy was to teach things that you could not find on the internet. That was one of the philosophies of the show. Because if you could find it on the internet, then you don't need this show. So that is something I still do today. I hope that's true. And if it's not, then you don't need this show. So that's something I've stuck with, and I think it's really helped increase the popularity of this show. And if you do that too, it'll help you too. I support anyone that wants to put helpful information out into the world. I think that the more people do that, the more the world is a better place, or at least a more educated place, so that we can feel empowered to make decisions that are right for us. That's my tagline. Don't take it. I want you to make decisions that are right for you. Because when you do that, you create the life you want. This is where I say, always keep an open mind so that you can step into your power and be firm in those decisions and actions to help you create that life. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.